This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, the Denver Nuggets get a huge win last night over the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they are the number one seed right now in the Western Conference, a game up on Minnesota and Oklahoma City. The assumption is Denver will stay there. They will be the number one seed heading into the postseason, which also means a matchup with one of Phoenix, Sacramento, the Lakers, and the Warriors. Not exactly the easiest of first-round matchups. The NBA is certainly a lot different than it used to be, at least in the Western Conference, relative to the win percentage of the eighth-place team. Now, in the East, Boston may somehow get Chicago or Atlanta if they maybe upset the loser of Miami and Philly. I guess it's not impossible. That feels more like the old-school 1-8 matchup. The two seed right now in the Eastern Conference is Milwaukee, and Milwaukee announced yesterday that Giannis is not going to play the final three games of the regular season.
Yep.
And everything that I'm hearing about this would indicate that was going to be the plan anyway, that he may have rested the final three games to get ready for the playoffs. At least that's what they're saying now. The question is whether or not he's back for game one. I don't know if he's going to be.
They better damn well hope he's going to be, because right now, based on how the standings would work, if it bared itself out that way, they got the Sixers, cuz. That ain't going to be great.
No.
That ain't going to be great. Like, being able
Let's go even further. They're not beating the Sixers if Giannis is not healthy. Flat out.
Yes, fair.
Flat out. They are not going to beat the Sixers if Giannis is not healthy.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering right now, did Orlando decide to choose their own adventure last night by getting smoked by the Bucks without Giannis? Like, I'm just wondering right now, the Magic saying, we don't want to be the two seed. We're all set on that. You know what? We'll take on Cleveland. We'll take on whoever else it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it ends up being, it'll probably be Cleveland. I don't see a scenario where they would get to number three over the Knicks. But if it ends up being something like that, we'll take on Cleveland or Indiana. We want no parts of the Sixers or the Miami Heat.
Absolutely.
I could absolutely see Jamal Mosley and the Orlando Magic saying that to themselves. But the bigger issue is the Milwaukee Bucks, because if that, in fact, is your first-round draw, if you've got the Sixers or the Heat, you're probably not going to get out of that series. So what does that mean for your team moving forward with Doc Rivers, Dame Lillard, and Giannis being locked in? I know that we're saying that they probably have to do some roster reconstruction and put more defensive players that can be supporting in that role with Dame and Giannis on that team. But, I mean, that is an embarrassment to make that kind of a swing, to go out and hire Damian Lillard and for them to fall flat on their faces with a first-round exit.
But does a Giannis injury provide a baked-in excuse?
Yes.
Because if Giannis was healthy and they got bounced early, a lot of questions, a lot of finger-pointing, someone will likely have to be held responsible for a disappointing early exit, right?
Yep.
When you get the release, the press release on Giannis's injury, and it says that he will, quote, receive daily treatment and evaluation, and they don't have a timeline for his return. To me, that signals we're praying like hell that he's going to be available for the playoffs, but we can't guarantee it. If he's not there and they do have an early exit, I think it provides an opportunity for Milwaukee to maybe not make wide sweeping changes because they have a baked in excuse. How do you expect us to win without Giannis?
If Giannis is hurt, I think there's only two teams that I could see getting to the finals right now in the Eastern Conference, and that's Boston and Philly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a Heat fan. There's no reason to think that they should get to the NBA Finals this year. None. They have given you abs. Just because last year happened means that there's always a chance that people are going to say, having watched every game of their season like I always do, there's no indication that this is going to happen. Now, there was no indication last year, but doing it 2 years in a row with no indication, without a one seed, without home court, it's so illogical on so many levels.
Yeah, but you got the best coach in the entire
sport. Yeah, I know.
And Jimmy Butler turns it on.
You got the best coach in the entire sport.
It is so
why I'll
frustrating.
Never dismiss Miami.
I know. It's so frustrating.
But I'm with you on that one. Like, Miami can be feisty, but I don't think they can get to the finals. The Knicks can be feisty, but I don't think they can get to the finals. It really does come down to Boston or Philadelphia. And that's saying a lot, because we're talking about the Milwaukee Bucks having top five odds to win the championship preseason, before this thing even got tipped off. Mm-hmm. And the fact that this is where they're at now, when we're questioning whether or not they can get out of the first round, when you've got Damian Lillard, when you've got Doc Rivers, when you've got Chris Middleton, when you've got all of the pieces that they have, even if Giannis is compromised or if he's unavailable, that should not be the conversation for a squad that's supposed to have championship aspirations.
Well, but that's part of this, though. Like, for me, if you tell me Giannis is healthy and he's going to play game one, I will add a third team to the possible Eastern Conference representative in the finals.
There's no chance he's going to be healthy, though, not with the calf injuries.
Well, then that's part of the equation, obviously. I'm just saying.
Those things are lingering. Even if it's the mildest of calf injuries,
right?
He's going to have to deal with that early on. Mm-hmm.
I'm just not ready to eliminate them. If somehow, some way, miracle recovery, I'll still say they're alive. Now, how many teams? See, this is where it gets even more interesting. So we said two and maybe three in the Eastern Conference, whether it's Milwaukee or Miami is a maybe, but definitely two for us with Boston, obviously, and we all are in on Philadelphia.
No doubt.
Yes.
How many teams in the West can you legitimately see going to the finals? Because, CeCe, you've been saying all show, Denver is proving to you that we have actually underrated them as a defending champ with a two-time MVP, with a chance for a three-time MVP in Jokic, all while you've hyped up Minnesota. Tim Legler was the first person anywhere to hype up Dallas. Dallas looks unbelievable as of late. Yeah. 9-1 in their last 10. I picked the Clippers to go to the finals. And oh, by the way, Smalls, there's also these LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant guys that are hovering around here.
Right, but based on what we saw from the Denver Nuggets last postseason and the dominance that we're seeing again from Jokic, do you really think that any of the teams or any of the stars that you just named can stack up to Jokic in Denver right
now? So you're on one team in the West can get to the finals? Any other team outside of Denver would surprise you?
I would be surprised. I'm not saying it can't happen because there are some formidable opponents in that mix, but I would be surprised just because Jokic is so dominant. And I have the data points from last year to know that he can get it done in the playoffs. Boston's been absolutely dominant this year. We know what Jason Tatum can be, but we've also seen them come up short in the playoffs before.
Yeah.
So that's why it's harder for me to go there with the Boston Celtics teams, despite the success they've had this year. But I'm looking at Denver, and again, watching him last night and thinking, is anybody really going to be able to beat this guy or this team? I don't know.
What can make Boston different is Jrue Holiday, who just got a contract extension. What was
did
that?
He four ever? Year, 4 years.
4 years, $135 million?
Yeah, like which, by the way, I know they wanted to do it. I think it may be too much. He's great. I don't know that he's that level of great. And if they don't succeed this year, Jaylen Brown may have to get traded.
But
though.
He's so good defensively.
I know.
He's so good. He's exactly what they needed.
And he's like a great character person. I understand that.
It's the Marcus Smart element with the defensive versatility without all the baggage of challenging the head coach.
And thinking he's an amazing offensive player, which Marcus Smart, a lot of times early in the games, will take shots, and you'll know at that point, okay, then Boston's going to lose because he's shooting too much.
Boston takes a lot of bad shots as a team, too.
But as long as I have Tatum and Brown shooting them.
Yeah.
But Jrue Holiday's the ultimate know your role.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what he's supposed to do.
He knows his role, and then you have Kristaps Porzingis, too. That's what could make it different for Boston. But I'm still of the mind, I got to see it before I believe it. But when you look at what the Denver Nuggets are, I mean, last night's game against the T-Wolves, who had the best record going in, or I guess they were tied for the best record in the Western Conference. The final 9.5 minutes of the game, the Nuggets outscored the Timberwolves 32-23 on 75% shooting. 75% shooting. And a lot of that was Jokic working Rudy Gobert. And it wasn't just him scoring, but it was facilitating the greatness of his teammates, whether it was the lob pass to Aaron Gordon, the DHOs, to the perimeter shooters, being able to set the pick so those guys could get open looks. You name it, Jokic was doing it. And so I think that's the part that makes Denver so tough, especially at home, is that you have a big man that is one of the best passers in the league, one of the best finishers through contact in the league, being the head of the snake when it comes to what they do on the offensive end. It's just unprecedented. A lot of teams don't see that throughout the course of the regular season, and yet they still don't know how to prepare for it when they face off against Jokic, even though this is a guy that's working on his third MVP this year.
So give me the team, either conference, that you think matches up best with Denver.
It's the Minnesota Timberwolves. What the X factor is going to have to be is Karl-Anthony Towns coming back, if he can come back for the playoffs. That is going to have to be the difference.
Let me give you a hypothetical that is not that crazy. What if I told you Joel Embiid all of a sudden was healthy throughout the entire postseason and they matched up with Denver in the NBA Finals?
Ooh, those are wars.
When Embiid and
Jokic get together, those are wars.
As long as they play. A lot of times they sit out those games.
Yeah, but those are wars.
Is that the best? If everyone is healthy that can be healthy, I don't mean guys that have already been ruled out, that is there a better matchup against Denver and taking them down than Philadelphia? Because Embiid can guard Jokic straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Maxey can run with Murray, obviously.
Can Murray run with Maxey?
Right, I know, but we're looking at it from the defending champ sort of way. In terms of the big wings that they have in Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr., Tobias Harris is a big wing that
no
can
doubt.
Play with them. Like, they have guys in the mix there. in Philadelphia, plus, you know, Oubre and Kyle Lowry and these veteran guys that are hovering around.
Batum
is another big wing that can play there. Robert Covington, if he's healthy. Like, they have these. Buddy Hield, a great shooter. Like, Philly's loaded right now in terms of excellent role players that I think could match
Paul
up
Reed
with Denver.
Paul is another big body. Maybe he can match B-ball up with Paul. Aaron Gordon, yeah.
Smalls is laughing at this. You've written off everyone but Denver. Is that what's happening right now?
I don't want to go there just yet, but even as you're going through this, I'm thinking about the mental component of this, how Denver's been there and done that. Jokic just wants to win another title so he can get back on the farm and do whatever he wants to do. And I think about the pressure that would be on Philadelphia if they were in that matchup, the pressure to finally get it done. And I don't know if I could take them. I think if that was the matchup, as much as Philadelphia on paper looks like they could really go against Denver, I think I'd still choose Denver.
The thing that keeps me from that place that you're going to with the second round ceiling for the Sixers is knowing that it's going to be Nick Nurse as their coach rather than Doc Rivers. Mm-hmm. And this is somebody that has been there, done that, got the t-shirt pressure pack situation with Kawhi Leonard on a rental, and they won the whole chip. Like, there was no margin for error, and they still found a way to get it done. Mm-hmm. So I think Nick Nurse inserting him in this situation, Joel Embiid potentially healthier than we've ever seen him in the playoffs once he gets in shape.
Revitalized.
I think this is a different animal that we're talking about. So, yeah, I get that Denver, yeah, automatically gets the edge. They get the benefit of the doubt because they are the reigning defending champs, and they're going to have a guy that gets his third MVP. But of the teams that are out there that could challenge them, I honestly think the closest people to the Denver Nuggets are the two teams in the Eastern Conference and nobody in the West.
All right, let's do this quickly. So I think we're in agreement for the NBA Finals. What it should be, Denver and Boston, right? That's what it should be. They're the one seeds. What do you want it to be? Like, I want it to be Golden State, Miami. I know it's not going to be. What do you want it to be? The Lakers and...
I mean, I would love it to be the Lakers. It's not going to be the Lakers.
But I'm saying, no, I know. What do you want it to be?
They have to get
your pick. Like, what do you want it to be?
I want it to be.
I can't even go there.
You can't do what you want it to be.
What I want is not even logical.
As long as they make the playoffs, it's logical.
Well, I don't know if they're going to do that.
Or make the play-in. Sorry. Smalls, what do you want it to be?
I would love it to be Boston-Minnesota.
Boston-Minnesota.
Kind of like a face of the league. You know, Jason Tatum's been on the cusp. Is it going to be Anthony Edwards? I just think that would be a juicy matchup.
Okay.
I can't pick anybody in the West other than Denver.
All right, so Denver and what do you want in the East? You want Philly?
I want Philly.
Okay, so you want the big man matchup. All right, now what are you actually picking? Like, because it should be Denver-Boston. What I want it to be Golden State-Miami. What I'm picking, and as I've been picking, which is pretty ridiculous as I'm reading this, the Clippers and the Sixers has been what I've been picking here. The James Harden Bowl, which is a fascinating
one. That'd be fun, though.
All right,
that'd be a fun
so matchup. What are you actually picking as we sit here today?
Denver-Boston.
Denver-Boston?
Sixers-Nuggets.
Okay.
Sixers-Nuggets.
So there we go. What it should be, what we want it to be, and what we're picking here in the NBA as we get ready for the postseason starting in a week. Coming up, we are, what, 2.5 weeks away from – no, 2 weeks from today? What is today? There are 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today.
The NFL draft rolls around, which means we need CC's Mock Draft 2.0 next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Oh, that good old NFL music. It's the best. We are 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. It feels like we've been talking about this forever, and it doesn't get old. And I love it. I absolutely love it. It is mock draft season. Everybody's coming out with their mock draft. Mel Kiper had his mock draft 2.0 yesterday, but I'm going to give y'all what y'all been waiting on. The Canty Mock Draft 2.0. Let's go, baby. Now, what you should know about my mock draft, Ev, I know everybody's talking about the quarterbacks.
Right.
A lot of quarterbacks in my first round mock.
Right.
Everybody's talking about wide receivers. A lot of wide receivers in my first round mock. But the position group that takes the cake in the 2024 draft in the first round, offensive linemen. Count them. 9 offensive linemen in the first round in mock draft 2.0.
So can I ask just a question on that quickly? Other people like Mel and others that have mock drafts, roughly how many linemen did they put in the first round? Round the same, or are you putting more than most?
I'm putting more than most.
More than most. Okay. More than most. So you think there's going to be a run on linemen, especially if they go early in the draft, that everyone's going to be like, okay, I got to get this guy before
Absolutely.
Somebody else does.
I got to get me one of those.
Got it.
Those guys are hard to find.
Got
it. Just putting that out there. All right, so without further ado, let's get to it. Number 1 overall pick, Caleb Williams, what's understood ain't got to be said. Number 2, contrary to popular opinion, Matt Miller came out yesterday on the draft special and said that the consensus around the league was that Jaden Daniels was going to be the second overall pick to Washington. I still have Drake May as the second quarterback off the board. I just think it's a seamless fit in terms of his style of play with the football philosophy of new offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury. We'll see who ends up being right 2 weeks from now on draft night. Number 3, in a stunning development, huge move, the Minnesota Vikings trade up from 11 to 3. The New England Patriots trade back, and the Minnesota Vikings select Jaden Daniels. Now, the New England Patriots slide back to number 11, but they also pick up the 23rd overall pick in 2024, and they pick up a first-round pick in 2025. Now, the Arizona Cardinals at number 4, they try to trade back for somebody that wants to get up to get a quarterback. They can't find a dance partner, so their consolation prize is Marvin Harrison Jr., the best wide receiver in this year's class.
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
Wait, stop right there for 1 second. Sorry. So if Arizona wants to trade back, they can't find a partner to trade back. That tells me, with the mock draft so far, that there's no one that thinks J.J. McCarthy is worth trading up that much to get at number 4.
That would be correct.
Okay.
All right, keeping it pushing. Number 5, everybody thinks that the Chargers are going wide receiver here. I don't. If you listen to what Jim Harbaugh said a couple of weeks ago, he said the offensive linemen are the only position group on the team that don't rely on anybody else to do their job. So, with that being said, I think that they focus on beefing up the trenches, getting strong along that offensive line, keeping Justin Herbert upright. And that's why they're going to select tackle out of Notre Dame, Joe Alt. This is a guy that's 6'9", 320 pounds, and ran a sub 540. He is an elite-level athlete for the position. He gives them a perfect right tackle to bookend with Rashawn Slater, former first-round draft pick, and a very good tackle in his own right. Again, when you have that type of protection for Justin Herbert, you're guaranteed to get the best version of him, which is what you're going to need if you're going to challenge the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC West. So I love that pick. The New York Giants, they're thinking about quarterback, but not this high. They're going to go with Malik Nabers, who is arguably the most explosive wide receiver in this draft class. The guy is phenomenal. Kind of reminds me of a former LSU receiver that the New York Giants had once upon a time. The kind of guy that can take a 5-yard slant and house it 70 yards. That is Malik Nabers in a nutshell. Keeping it pushing, number 7, new head coach Brian Callahan. Who's his daddy?
Bill.
Okay, and what was his specialty?
Offensive line.
Okay, so they're going with an offensive lineman, Talies.
And he's there with them.
Talies Fuaga out of Oregon State. He's going to be the pick at number 7. Number 8, first defensive player off the board, Dallas Turner, edge rusher out of Alabama. Number 9, the Chicago Bears. No, not anymore. They're going to trade out of number 9. Even with Romo Odunze on the board, the Bears trade out of number 9. The New England Patriots trade up to number 11, from number 11 to number 9, to take quarterback out of Michigan, J.J. McCarthy. Now, Ev, as a Patriots fan, do you like that move?
Well,
trading back to 11 and then trading back into the top 10 to get J.J. McCarthy.
If you believe, if you're New England, that there is a clear drop-off between 1 and then 2/3, and then hypothetically you believe that there is a massive difference between 2 and 3, regardless of who the person is that we're mocking here, in your case you mocked Drake May there, let's just say that they think Drake May is significantly better than Jaden Daniels, and he's not worth drafting at 3 for them, to still get a quarterback from Michigan, They've had success there. And pick up an extra first rounder next year and have a guy that doesn't have to play right away because they have Jacoby Brissett. Elliott Wolf will be praised, their general manager, from now until the end of next season for how great that draft was.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what the New England Patriots are giving up is the number 11 overall pick and a 2024 third round pick, number 68 overall. So as a Patriots fan, you probably can stomach that. Okay, number 10, the New York Jets should probably go with an offensive lineman. That's the long-term play, but that doesn't give you the return on investment immediately. And here's the thing, Rob Saleh and Joe Douglas ain't thinking about 2025. They're trying to save their jobs in 2024. So they go with a guy to have an instant impact, tight end out of Georgia, Brock Bowers. I don't think this is the right pick, but this is probably what they're going to end up doing.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers has ever proven to be great with the tight end position. Much better with wide receivers. If he's a hand-on-the-ground tight end, I don't like it. If you're going to use him as a slot and all over the field, okay, I like that a little bit better, but is that worth it at that pick? I don't know.
I actually thought about the New York Jets swapping with the Cincinnati Bengals and having T. Higgins involved in that deal. I don't know if that's going to happen, though. I just don't know if the Jets have the cap space or if they have the draft capital to feel comfortable executing that type of trade or who Cincinnati's moving up for. But T. Higgins would absolutely fit a need for the Jets.
Oh, that is an interesting thought. That is a spicy thought to give Aaron Rodgers T. Higgins a weapon in that way.
Hello.
I could see that.
Just putting that out there. Okay, number 11, the Chicago Bears traded down from 9. They're going to take Rome Odunze. Number 12, the Denver Broncos. Everybody thinks they're in the quarterback business, but not this high, which is why I have the Broncos trading back to 17. Jacksonville Jaguars trading up to take Quinyon Mitchell, the top corner in this draft. The Jags get their pick at corner, and they need a lot of help in that secondary based on how that offseason unfolded. For their trouble, the Denver Broncos end up picking up the 17th overall pick. They get the 2024 second-round pick from the Jacksonville Jaguars, number 48 overall, and a 2024 fourth-round pick. Now, why that's important, Denver didn't have a second-round pick because of the Sean Payton trade. They didn't have a fourth-round pick. So being able to get those draft picks matter for Denver in terms of being able to fill out their roster. So you might ask, when are the Denver Broncos going to get a quarterback? And Ev Smalls, I would love to answer that question for you. At pick number 27.
27.
Right now, the Arizona Cardinals have that pick. Their second first-round pick of this year's draft. The Arizona Cardinals trade out of the first round. The Denver Broncos trade up from 48, which they got from Jacksonville, to number 27 to take quarterback Bo Nix. Hmm. Now, Bo Nix ends up being the sixth quarterback that's taken in the first round of this year's class. So, wait a minute. We talked about Caleb Williams. We talked about Jaden Daniels. We talked about Drake May. We talked about J.J. McCarthy. That's four. If Bo Nix is the sixth, where is the other quarter? Where's the sixth quarterback? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Number 13 overall, the Las Vegas Raiders select Michael Penix Jr. My former teammate Antonio Pierce gets his trigger man to compete with those quarterbacks that are in the AFC West. You can't go into the season thinking that the combination of Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew is going to be enough to keep pace with Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert. You just can't. So Antonio Pierce has got to get his guy. Michael Penix Jr. throwing the football to my guy Davante Adams. That seems like it's awfully spicy, so I like it. So six quarterbacks end up going in the first round.
Six QBs, nine offensive linemen, pick number 3 traded, pick number 9 traded, pick number 12 traded in the top 15 of this draft. Multiple teams in your scenario, Chicago, New England, and Denver, stockpiling picks while also getting players at positions that they need, just at different spots than we've mocked them at previously, and Minnesota becoming that desirable destination for a quarterback. The Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels, will throw to a fellow LSUer, in Justin Jefferson, if this obviously plays out, Smalls.
Yeah, there's two things about this. Well, I love the mock as a whole, they say. But there's two things in general that I really love about this. Number one, I love that you have Minnesota going up to number 3 because I believe Mel Kiper's mock had them jumping up to 5. But if you're going to jump up to 5, why wouldn't you just jump up to number 3
exactly.
And be able to have your pick of J.J. McCarthy and or Drake May, Jaden Daniels, who's ever there? Because if you identify your guy, go up to 3 and get him. I also think if this were to play out the way that you prognosticated it with the Chicago Bears, where they get Caleb Williams and they still get Rome Odunze, that another weapon for Caleb Williams to have while also somehow acquiring more draft capital, we will be praising the Bears like you can't believe. That an outstanding draft coupled with the offseason that they've had, we're going to be talking about the Chicago Bears in a positive light.
There's only one other thing draft-wise, rumor-wise, I'm waiting for, and it's kind of been sprinkled out a little bit, but I'm waiting for someone to go all in on it, and that is the Raiders making an offer to New England specifically to get Jaden Daniels. If he's there at three, I feel like the Raiders may make some godfather-like offer of countless picks to get Antonio Pierce's former player at Arizona State and in high school that he supposedly loves, Jaden Daniels. That's one other kind of I'm waiting for.
But here's the thing. I have a hard time seeing the offer that the Raiders could give the Patriots that will be better than the Vikings offer, because the Vikings are giving you two first-round draft picks this year and then one next year, whereas the Raiders, they would have to give you three first-round draft picks over the next three drafts.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. ESPNU presented by Progressive Insurance. So this is really cool. Shared reality, virtual reality is obviously a humongous thing going on right now. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have new innovative ways of doing it, you're kind of behind right now. And ESPN has had a great partnership, or is entering into a great partnership. Jeb Terry is the president and CEO of Cosm. And he is a former NFL player, and he's created, and his company has created, this amazing shared reality world that we are going to live in with sports. And Jeb joins us now. Jeb, I cannot explain it the way you can. Can you explain the partnership with ESPN and what it is you guys are doing that is going to change the way people are going to view sporting events moving forward?
Yeah, good morning. That's the beauty of what we're doing. It's really impossible to explain. It's a must see it to believe it. We've been working on this opportunity for a number of years now, and this year we've really started to share with the world what we're up to. And this relationship and partnership with ESPN is a great way to do it. We've been working behind the scenes, building the technology, building the experiences, and now we're able to bring live sports to fans like really you've never seen before. You know, we can put you courtside, pitch side, at the 50-yard line, but we do it at a scale where you're with other fans. There's no hardware, there's no headset, there's nothing around it, and you're just at the event in the experience, and we're thrilled to be able to bring it to life really this year to the public.
So, Jeb, what you're saying is even though my work schedule wouldn't allow me to go down to Keenan Stadium on October 21st this past season to watch my Cavaliers beat the top 10 Carolina Tar Heels, I could have used Cosm to actually experience that event.
Chris, I'm still licking my wounds from that one. Man, talk about turning the season on our head. And I got to tell you, going into that week, it felt like that was going to happen. Something about UVA guys, I can't even put my finger on it. But that's exactly right. So, you know, sitting wherever you are, you can go to a Cosm and it's like you're actually there. It's one of those things where, you know, we're privileged. We got to play. We get to cover sports. We get to go to all those big major events. But you know, most fans don't get to the stadiums, arenas of the teams they love. They don't get to the sidelines or have the best seat in the house. And Cosm really provides that best seat in the house with a leveled up hospitality, but we do it live. So it's super high resolution feeds that are coming in real time. And we give you that game day experience. You know, you could be at a Cosm here in the U.S. and watching a global event that's being played internationally. You could be there watching, you know, NBA games, college football games, really this broad swath of content. And it's always on, always live, and it gives fans the absolute best seat.
Well, Jeb, people are hearing you describe this. They're probably intrigued. How can they get involved? How can they visit these venues and experience this shared reality for themselves?
Yeah, we're opening up our first two venues this year. in L.A. and in Texas, and we're going to be making those announcement dates coming out very, very soon, and we plan to bring a Cosm to, you know, every city that you can think of. We really look at the opportunity that we want to bring these venues everywhere sports fans live and breathe, everywhere entertainment fans are, and that's the intent. And so you can really come and experience for yourself at our venues in Los Angeles and in North Dallas. They're opening later this year, and the promise is that you will have an incredible time.
We're talking with Jeb Terry. He's the president and CEO of Cosm, and that is the company that is producing all kinds of amazing shared reality and venues in Dallas and L.A. coming up here for all sports. I want to make sure we explain this even better than we have and you have here, because I'm thinking about this. I want to go to a game. I don't actually want to go to the stadium because maybe it's not even in my town. I don't want to have the traffic going in. I don't want to have the prices, all that kind of stuff. I then can have a game experience combined almost with a sports bar restaurant experience with the virtual reality in the comfort of my own town if I live in L.A. or Dallas, and get in and out of there easier than a regular stadium. Am I understanding that properly? And is that the kind of experience
we want to promote? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, Chris mentioned that his Wahoos came down to Keenan Stadium and put one on the Tar Heels. And so I could have been sitting here in Los Angeles watching that game live from the 50-yard line, but with hundreds of other fans within a Cosm. I could have great food, great drinks, same crowd energy, same crowd noise. And we call it shared reality because that's what we as sports fans know and love, right? That fandom, that energy of the crowd, the high five, that's really what we're all about. And we leverage our technology to give you that experience. Well, the technology really comes to life through a really large LED dome, right? It's the one we're opening here in L.A. is a 12K display. Wow. And it brings to life that fidelity, that resolution that really can make fans seem like they're there.
Well, Jeb, one of the players that people are going to come to see at Cosm or at sporting venues around the National Football League is your quarterback down at UNC, Drake May. Just wanted to get your perspective on what kind of player he is, what he's done for that program down at Carolina, and what kind of pro he's going to be once he makes the leap.
Look, Drake is a stud in every way. He's represents the university. I mean, like all of us want him, alumni, teammates, et cetera. And he's had a great career with us. I mean, I think he's a for sure top five pick if he doesn't sneak into number one. You know, I am a homer, as you can imagine. but the guy is great on the field, off the field, and he's had a fantastic career for us. You know, I think we had really high expectations. And as a player, he lived up to them and exceeded them in a lot of number of ways. And I think he's going to be a fantastic pro. The way he's got all the physical attributes that you're looking for, the way he sees the field and the way he leads the team, there's a lot to like. I think he's got a lot of opportunity to go through a big growth process. I hope he gets into an organization that leans into that, finds ways to exploit a lot of those physical traits that he is known for, and gives him an opportunity to win. I'm hopeful to be able to watch him for a long, long time.
Jeb, let's finish with this. We've talked a ton about Cosm, obviously, and all the amazing things. Is there anything we left out? Anything that everyone listening and watching needs to know about Cosm and what's happening here in L.A. and Dallas to start that people need to know about?
Look, the key is it's a must-see to believe. It's one of these things where you're going to come to a Cosm, you're going to leave, and you're not going to be able to describe it to your family or your friends. It is really a one-of-a-kind type experience. We talk about being a industry of defining, game-changing technology. And look, I've been to venues around the world. I've covered live sports. I've done it for my whole professional career as an athlete and an executive. And there's really nothing like this. You always have the best seat in the house every single time. And this relationship with ESPN is really a big, big step for us. It's comprehensive across the broad rights portfolio that you guys have. And, you know, ESPN is the worldwide leader for a reason, and we're excited to be part of that and be able to bring all that fantastic content to fans like they've never seen it before. And that's it. And when you come, we're going to host you guys. I promise you that much. You'll know what we're talking about.
Can't wait. Jeb, thank you so much. We appreciate the time. Congratulations on the partnership with ESPN and launching everything here.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate the time this morning.
All right, there's Jeb Terry. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to do a show from the shared reality.
I would love venue.
That's
going to
be
go.
Awesome. I want to check it out.
Like videos look outstanding.
12K? 12K?
The dome, the immersive 87 experience.
87-foot diameter? 12K?
Avoiding traffic? Unbelievable. That's part of it. You're getting a stadium experience without having to worry about all the stadium traffic in and out. Oh, where do I sign up for that? Now, that's getting the job done, just like Grainger, CC, getting the job done there.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
We didn't make any money last night. We made it a Canty can't lose. We took the Nuggets on the money line. We also took Jokic to log a triple-double. I got greedy with that one. Even though he dropped 41 points, 11 boards, came 3 assists shy of a triple-double, so... I mean, listen, that's on me. That's my bad. But I'm going to make it up to you tonight because we're going to go back to the association. The Boston Celtics are in cruise control mode. They ain't trying to win no more games because they secured the best record in the Eastern Conference, the number one seed in the conference and throughout the playoffs. So we're going to take Nuno's Knicks on the money line tonight. The Knicks are 2.5 points favorites. We're going to take them on the money line tonight. We're going to parlay that with Jalen Brunson over 25.5 points. That pays out at plus 123. I know you got some angst, Nuno, but Jalen Brunson and the Knicks are going to come through tonight.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, well, yesterday on First Take, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN, Stephen A. Smith and Molly Karam were both wearing kind of all white, right?
Yeah.
Some may say they're wedding white. Not there as in together, but wedding white. Mm-hmm. Well, Christopher Mad Dog Russo could not resist. Here's Doggy with Stephen A. and Molly yesterday on ESPN.
Out.
And who said I do first between the two of you, by the way?
Oh, my God.
Who said I do first?
Who said I don't?
Did you say I do first, Stevie? Who said
this is very nice, Stephen A. It looks really nice.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, it does. It really, really. You look nice yourself.
Thank you.
As always, you know. But I just had to step on out. No, there's nothing going on. You understand? Say America been lying about that for a couple of years.
Oh, they do?
For years.
You know
what's the funniest part? Been lying on it.
People actually believe it.
Oh, they sure do. I get asked all the time.
It's ridiculous.
How's the famous couple doing?
Well, here's the difference. But here's the upside to all of that. They know my taste. So therefore, they know that's a compliment to her. And obviously, she has great taste as well. So I guess that's America's way of saying we both really, really look good. That's why you can do that. Because, they lie all the time. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. But it does mean that First Take not only is a number one show because of our content, we look the part.
Okay, I'm just going to let out.
And who said I do
okay,
first?
So there's so many parts of this to break down.
A lot of layers to this one.
That, I know Doggy well enough, having worked with him for 12 years on Sirius. He was not trying to do a dating joke.
No.
In any way, shape, or form. His brain doesn't even work that way. He was literally just saying, you look like you're both getting married to someone today. Stephen A., brilliant move by him. Took it as, no, we're not dating. I know why people would say that. Grouping himself with Molly in that spot, that's a brilliant move. Got to be honest.
Well, first of all, they both did look amazing.
Yeah.
We see them in the hallways here. They're always dressed to impress, those two.
No doubt.
I saw Stephen A. the other day in that pastel blue suit.
The blue, yeah.
Very sharp. Very sharp. But it was a very funny and clever way for him to address potential rumors that might have been out there.
Which are not out there, I don't think.
Oh, please.
No, they're out there.
They're
really?
Out
there. Rumors out there. Yeah.
Oh, I guess I don't pay attention
Anytime that a female works with a male, people are going to speculate about things like that. Trust me.
Okay.
It's unfortunate. But it happens. But I thought it was a funny, clever, tongue-in-cheek way of addressing things like that, while also saying, you clearly think we look good, and we do.
No doubt about it. But Stephen A. said, yeah, it's a compliment to her. To Molly, because they know my taste. Come on, Stephen A. Come on, man. Come on, Stephen A. Come on.
Kind of brilliant. He, in a way, he was telling the world, see, I am really good-looking.
That's exactly what he was.
But he never actually said those words.
He was hanging on the rim. It's a way
very
to hang
smart.
On the rim and say, I look good without saying I look good.
Yeah, I love how he found a way to turn that into, how good do I look today?
But I don't, maybe I'm wrong.
But you knew if anybody could find a way, it would be him.
I don't think he crossed the line or anything, because he was talking about himself.
No.
I know that's what.
Nobody crossed the line.
I know.
It was hilarious.
It was a funny
bit. No, but what I'm saying is, it would be so easy to cross a line, and he never came close, because he made it about how good looking he is.
He's a professional.
Brilliant.
Now, crossing the line would have been wearing all white after Labor Day. That would be crossing the line.
I don't know, winter white?
Winter white.
Explain the difference.
But January is winter. February is winter. That's acceptable. Wearing all white November, December?
I have worn all white to a holiday party. A little winter white moment.
Really?
Beautiful choice.
Okay. So that's no longer.
That was an aggressively white outfit by Stephen A.
Very white. Exactly.
Really?
You know what? He can't eat chips and salsa on that thing.
No, he can't go. Scott Drew on that. I don't know. I didn't even notice that it was all white like that. All right, next one. This is small.
How could you not?
I don't know. I didn't even think about it.
How could you not notice that it's all white?
I don't know.
It's almost like Dog missed the memo. Like everybody on first day had the all white on except him.
Well, now we're going to go to a whole different topic. How would he get the memo? He doesn't have email. He doesn't know how to use the internet. I'm not kidding.
They have a production meeting on first take.
But he may not go to it knowing him.
But how does he know what they want him to talk about? He puts his list together
He's fine. That's him. It's fascinating. All right, next one.
Just wake up and play, huh?
Him? I've seen it for my whole life.
Okay.
Game time is on time.
Yeah.
Smalls has an unsportsmanlike moment for someone else. It's a coffee shop here in New York. She went to a coffee shop yesterday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. The coffee shop closes at 6. She asked for a coffee. They wouldn't serve her the coffee, saying it's too close to exit time, to close time. Fair, unfair by the coffee shop. We put it out, Unsports ESPN at EFCO Radio. Smalls, everyone's agreeing with you.
Yes.
73% are saying unfair. 27% say fair.
73% of the people listening, thank you to our unsportsmanlike community. If you're not going to serve coffee at a coffee shop a half hour before you close, just close. If you really want to clean things up, what is the point of being open if you're not going to give me any goods? What's the point in that? I'm just trying to get a shakerado for the road. Let's either serve it to me or close on up.
Can I ask a question? If the menu had, on the menu, that coffee, whatever, is available between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., and it was a sign up there, would you be bad in that case? Or because they're giving you a heads up, you're okay with that?
Well, yeah, then that's on me, because I didn't look at the sign.
Okay.
But if you need time to clean up, then close at 5:30 and use that half hour to clean up.
But the store doesn't, they don't start cleaning at 6. The store is closed at 6. They stop doing everything at 6.
But that's what he said is
they're going home.
We start pre-closing, meaning that they weren't serving the coffee.
There
Correct.
Is no such thing as pre-closing. Either you're open or you're closed.
Thank you.
Incorrect.
There's no such thing as pre-closing.
Very wrong.
How am I wrong?
Because that's insane. You would walk into a restaurant 10 minutes before it closed and expect a full menu?
This is a coffee at a coffee shop.
It's fine. They have to clean things up.
I'm not asking you to roast a duck. I'm asking you to pour me a cup of coffee.
Let's play out
Shake
Pat's
it up
example.
A little bit and hand it to me.
You're right. But if we play out Pat's example, and a restaurant closes at 10 p.m. and you get there at 9:50, in theory, the restaurant then tells you, we can literally only make you this.
Yeah, we can't seat you, or we can only make you this.
Yeah, we can make you
now, if
chicken
they
fingers
if,
to
if
go.
If they let me sit down and the whole menu is available to me, that means they're going to get a really nice tip.
Yeah.
Because I knew that I came in 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, but that's
closing.
Not most people. Most of the people who are doing that are not leaving a nice tip.
But Smalls is right. It's a coffee.
And I was there 30 minutes before they closed.
Exactly.
It's not like I showed up at 5:58.
Exactly.
What's the longest it could take, theoretically, if you have some complicated, fancy schmancy coffee? How long could it take to make? roughly, max amount of time.
5 minutes?
So you're not even in the window.
No.
Yeah. If you get there at 5:30 and it closes at 6, that's not even in the window. Like Small
says, just close at 5:30.
And there
they
was,
did. They were trying. They basically were.
Well, but close the store.
I
lock the
still
door.
Walk in.
If she locks the door, she's not going to be disappointed.
This is a
when
bad
you
business
walk
decision.
In and you talk to somebody that is waiting to take your order, and they say, no, you can't order that because that takes too long. Well, damn, how long does it take?
I stand with the service workers of America.
He didn't even say it takes too long. He said, we're pre-closing. I'm not making any more coffee. And there was no one else in there.
CeCe, when you
I'm like,
worked,
you're just denying money at this
that's
point.
That's why they were pre-closing, because there was no one there.
Well,
they weren't making any money.
The door.
When you worked at Subway back in the day, yeah. what was closing time and when would you stop making the sandwiches?
Closing time was whenever my uncle said closing time was because he owned the store.
And then, so then you stop making the sandwiches whenever he tells you to stop.
It was usually at the time that the store was closing, but there would be times where he would extend the hours.
So if you pulled what this person did at the coffee shop to Smalls, your uncle would have what
to
say to you.
Yeah, my uncle was always about closing later, not earlier.
Because he wanted to make more money.
Exactly, which is why I think he ended up having to sell that Subway franchise, because that is a faux pas, but never mind that. But yeah, like he was all about like trying to stay open as long as we could to make money as long as we could.
Thank
and
you.
He didn't care about the hours because he had his nephews in there working for him.
Because you're trying to make money.
Will you ever go back to this place?
No.
You're done.
Maybe, I don't know.
Kathy, I don't know if that was legal.
What'd you say? You don't know if it was legal. Pat, it probably,
that was legal.
Pat, it probably wasn't. I think I was 13 when this was happening.
Grady, old enough to coming work up job. Next for Honda Friday. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.